Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This is episode 508. Today we're going to be talking about misguided outrage and women being drafted. If you don't know what happened last Friday, you're going to find out today. Let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help and trust that He will give it. Father, I just need your wisdom and I need help as I talk through these things. Help me to be clear and precise and concise when it comes to these issues, and help me to connect some of these dots in a way that's understandable and that's faithful to you. I trust that you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, quick shout out to Barbell Logic and Matt Reynolds. Matt Reynolds is doing a phenomenal job with his company. They do online coaching, strength coaching to be specific. And if you're wanting to get strong and healthy and fit, reach out to Barbell Logic. They're doing a phenomenal job. I am doing deadlifting, squats, presses, bench press, deadlifts, all sorts of stuff, and trying to get as strong as I can. I'm trying to reach my max genetic potential when it comes to strength and then stay there as long as possible. So I'm working up towards that, and then I want to maintain that as long as I possibly can. You can do that too. Bodily training is of some value. Find that value that's there and then do the best you can. That's what I'm doing. I want to encourage you to do the same. So check out Barbell Logic and what Matt Reynolds is doing. It's a really great, great program. Okay. I want to talk about misguided outrage and then connect the dots with women going to war and how they shouldn't be going to war. So let's talk first about baby murder. Christians do not believe murder is okay. And we don't believe murder is okay because of simple natural law or the general acceptance from culture to culture that murder is bad. We recognize that murder is evil because God tells us so. It's in the very Ten Commandments. We shall not murder. Okay, that's clear and it's very basic when it comes to basic morality. And it is recognized in natural law and from society to society. It's written on the very hearts of individuals. They suppress that truth, but we have it in written word. We know that murdering people is wrong. When people are catechized by the ways of the world, and the more familiar you are with the world, the more you're going to question God's ways and the norm according to the scripture. The more you are familiar with God's word and the norm of scripture, the more you're going to question God's word. But when that gets turned upside down, even in the hearts of believers that might be doctrinally pure and solid in some ways and even healthy in some ways, gets out of balance when it comes to these issues, and their outrage ends up being catechized in the ways of Adam rather than the ways of Christ. And you recognize this by looking at the man who is holding a sign outside of a murder mill. This sign is held up, and it's a big poster of a baby that has been murdered, ripped apart limb from limb. And the other way is murder by asphyxiation, by medication. And what you'll see is a group of people that are angry, even people on the right, or even just evangelical Christians, who will be very upset at the person holding the sign. They'll say, how dare you? How could you possibly do that? That's so awful. I can't believe you do that. They're outraging against the man who's exposing what's actually being done in the inside. They're not raging at those who are murdering their own babies, those women. They're not raging at the outrage that a man would make millions of dollars off of, or a woman would make millions of dollars off of mass murders, serial killers legally making millions off of women who want to kill their babies and the men that enable them. I've been working outside of murder mills now for a couple years because they're in our town. And what I can tell you just by anecdotal evidence is that these women know exactly what they're doing. Is there the fringe or outlier woman that comes in there? Yeah, of course there are. But what you'll also see is that people will outrage against the people that are standing out there, even if they're just out there praying, and they'll make accusations that they only care about the baby and they don't care about the mother. And that couldn't be further from the truth. These are the women that are being talked to by these people that are standing out there like us and the people that are out there and saying, we'll give you whatever you need for as long as you need it. We can connect you to all these resources, whatever state you're from. We want to help you out. The whole point is there is misguided outrage when people are catechized by the wrong system. They will rage at the ones that are standing outside exposing the darkness that's happening inside, and they won't rage at what's happening inside, or they'll be just ambivalent towards it. Okay, the second thing would be with government schools. If you say get your kids out of school, or government school is, secularism is a religion, and the government has been pummeling Christians for decade on end, and in Illinois, they're actually teaching, I just talked to an administrator, they're teaching kindergartners sexual consent and touching, sexual touching, and they are being required to sign off. They opt out, they have to lie, but as of right now in 2024, schools are required to, by the state of Illinois, show pictures of little boys and girls, private parts, and teach about sex, kindergartners. Okay, this is insanity. But what people will do is when you say government school, you got to get your kids out of government school, do whatever you can to raise your children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, and you take that seriously, there's misguided outrage. They won't rage at the government school or the government program that's indoctrinating children away from the Christian faith and away from the values of our fathers, to hate the traditions, hate the truth, hate the faith of our fathers. They want to pull that out and say, oh, that's evil, that's wrong, that's wicked, and there's misguided outrage. Okay, what about this? Those that are wanting to protect women and provide for women and take care of women and see to it that a woman lives according to God's ways and God's commands and say, I love you, I want to provide for you, I want to protect you, and I want to love you as Christ loved the church. What you'll see is there's a massive group of people on the left, obviously, but also Christians who would say, oh, that's oppressing. You're actually oppressing women. Are you kidding me? You want them to be in the home and you want them helping raise your children. You want them teaching your children and you just want to suppress women. It's like, no, I just want them to obey the Lord. And I want to obey the Lord personally as a man to do everything I can to provide and protect my wife and my daughter. And I want to raise them the way God would have my daughters be my daughter. I have one daughter be raised. So what you'll see is those who actually want to see women live according to God's ways, there's misguided outrage. Okay. Now let's think about this when it comes to the draft, or you think about this when it comes to any, like not just military service, but anything when it comes to having to lay your life down for the general public. And you think about firefighting and you think about the police force. This has historically been reserved for men because it's been a general consensus among Christians and non-Christians in our country, in our world, that it's men who do the things that they put themselves in harm's way for the good of others. And this is just written upon the hearts of people. And then when you're catechized again in the ways of Adam, you think, no, you blame your wife for everything. You don't take responsibility. You watch evil come her way. Say, she can handle it. She can do that. That's the ways of Adam. And then that's demonstrated by this misguided outrage. And when it comes to the police force or firefighters, or when it comes to the draft, what I'm about to say, there's going to be people on the left and then Christians as well, run-of-the-mill evangelicals who would say, huh, I don't know why I don't like what you're saying, but I just don't like what you're saying. And when I'm saying I want to protect women and it's shameful for a nation to send its women to war, we are generations removed now of Christians who know why that what I'm saying is right. And they actually believe they should be going to war. Men and women are the same. Why wouldn't they go bleed on the battlefield? So I'm going to read through some things that have been developing and developed this last Friday. And I want you to be aware of this because I think it's important for us to be informed of what's happening within the government and what's moving up at the federal level to the Senate. So listen to this. This is as of last Friday. Today, U.S. Senators Jack Reed and Roger Wicker, chairman and ranking member of the Senate Armed Service Committee, announced that the committee voted 22-3 to advance the National Defense Act for fiscal year 2025. The bill now heads to the Senate floor for consideration. So it passed the committee 22-3 and now goes to the Senate floor. Well, what is this Senate Armed Service Committee? What is this National Defense Authorization Act of 2025? Well, I'm glad you ask. If you go and you can find this, I'll put all these links in the show notes because I want you to be able to have this and to pass this information on from church to church. I'm hoping this is informative to you because I'm bringing you to the end here to help you adopt something like our church adopted earlier this year. And I think it's critical for us, critical for you, for those that would say, yes, we should not be sending our daughters to war. Yes, we have properly catechized outrage and frustration. And this is bringing holy discontentment and holy outrage, holy hatred against what the United States government and armed forces is trying to do to our daughters. And we want to do something when it comes to religious liberty, and we want to claim that and say, hey, listen, we aren't doing this. So I'm doing this and I want this to spread. So I want you to have this information. Like I said, it's in the show notes. Part three, this is just on page 3 of the United States Senate Committee on Armed Services, Strengthening the Joint Force and Defensive Workforce. This is point 3. Authorizes funding to support a 4.5% pay raise for military members and a 2% pay raise for DoD civilian employees. increases monthly basic pay for junior enlisted service members in the grades of E1 through E3 in addition to the force-wide pay raise, amends the Military Selective Service Act to require the registration of women for selective service. There you go, folks. As of 2025, what most likely will be going through is that our daughters are going to have to sign up for the draft. And if you just have, if you know what's going on in the geopolitical space and the global level right now, unless you got your head buried in the sand, we are being geared up for, right now, some massive military actions. And it's already happening, and the pot is stirred big time. And I don't know about you, but there's no way I'm fighting in a war right now for this country. My conscience won't allow it. My daughter will not be fighting or being drafted for any war, period, over my dead body. And if you can't say over my dead body, this is an unbiblical thing. How in the world would they possibly do this? Friends, if this won't make you a Christian nationalist, I don't know what will, possibly. You have to come and say, if baby murder won't, and if you just say, hey, listen, God... God has something to say about this, that men are protectors. Men lay their lives down. Then I don't know what to do to help you or to shake you into reality. They're wanting to send your daughters to unjust war. So our church, months back, looking down the pipeline of what could be happening, Andy and I began to talk and think, we need to do something preemptively here as a church. And I've done an episode on this before, but I'm just going to walk through this because I want you to have this and I want you to know why we did this. And Andy put this together and we adopted this as a church. Because we wanted to give some sort of credibility that if this was to happen, it wasn't just something that we said, oh yeah, we don't believe that women should go to war. We wanted to have this adopted by our church and on the books. And here's what it is. This is a statement on military service, Christian military service. And number one, this is going to be pulling from the London Baptist Confession and Jeremiah 51:30 and Deuteronomy 24 verse 5. Okay? So my Presbyterian brothers and sisters, just open your Westminster Standards and look in your confession and you'll be able to find and make this your own as well. So number one, whereas God, the supreme Lord and King of the whole earth, has ordained civil authorities to be under him and over the people for his glory and the public good. For this purpose, he has armed them with the power of the sword to defend and encourage those who would do good and punish evil. This is a biblical statement on civil government. We believe in this. We believe that God has established civil government for certain reasons and has empowered them with the sword to protect and also to reward and punish. So this is a statement that we affirm as a church. Article 2. Whereas Christians may lawfully accept and carry out the duties of public office when called to do so, in performing their office, they must especially maintain justice and peace according to the wholesome laws of each kingdom and or other political entity. To carry out these duties, they are authorized now under the New Testament to wage war in just and necessary situations. Now keep in mind, when we're looking at these words, these are theological words. There is a law above the law of the land, and that is the cry. Simply, if you're wondering, you know, I don't even like this word Christian nationalism. Okay, whatever, that's fine. What we're saying is there's a law above the land, and Christians say everyone is subject to that law. There's Christian nationalism in a nutshell. Number three, whereas God alone is Lord of the conscience, and he has left it free from human doctrines and commandments that are in any way contrary to his word or not contained in it. So, believing such doctrines or obeying such commands out of conscience is a betrayal of true liberty of conscience. Here it is, folks. Requiring implicit faith or absolute or blind obedience destroys liberty of conscience and reason as well. The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates is a great book by Matthew Chiarella. If the government commands anything that God forbids or forbids anything that God commands, we are under biblical obligation to say no. We obey God over man. Okay, Article 4. Point 4. Whereas women were designed by God to carry and nurture life and not serve on the battlefield. This is a commitment that our church has come together to, and this is where you'll find misguided outrage. Okay, even many Christians that would listen to this and spread it around from church to church throughout Southern Illinois or wherever, they would hear that statement and they would think, no, they're not outraged at a possible draft, but this is what would outrage them because they want all the caveats. They don't want all the caveats. It's like, okay, just let our women bleed out there on the battlefield. Let them go to war because, you know, freedom and all that kind of stuff. And the actual one saying, no, that's not right. Women were not built for that. We were built for that. Let us bear that burden and let women do what God has called them to do. This is where misguided outrage comes in on this particular point. Women were designed by God to carry and nurture life. Doesn't everybody agree with that? And You might say, is there an exception? Of course there is an exception. That there are some who, under providential hindrances, there are some women that can't do that, but they are still created by God to be nurturers, and they are still to be motherly to those who are around them, and to be caring, and are to be helping those that are around. They are still women. You don't have to have an open womb to be fully woman, but you're still nurturing life and not called to go to war. And they're not called to serve to go on the battlefield. This is our firm commitment. This is clear in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. And it's also a shame to a nation when women fight and are in the front lines of battle in the civil realm. Then, Article 5, we affirm that Christian men may voluntarily serve in the military if he is not made to violate the commands of God nor the dictates of his conscience. This, when it comes to, people are going to draw lines in different places here. One man may be able to affirm that is a just cause that I can fight for, while another man in the same congregation might say that is not a just cause and I do not have liberty of conscience to fight. And they need to have that ability and to come to the table together, even though they disagree on that issue. They need to have the ability to say that doesn't violate my conscience, this does violate my conscience, and then make their decision accordingly. They have the freedom to do that. So in the same congregation, you could have men, if drafted, that would say, no, I'm not going, and another say, yes, I am going because this doesn't violate my conscience, and they don't have to be at odds. This is about voluntary service, if not made to violate commands of God or the dictates of his conscience. Article 6, we deny that any woman may be drafted into military service. It is our firm commitment, and it should be yours as well, that you would not let your daughters go to war. And if your daughter signed up for the draft and she was to get drafted, you would say, absolutely not, and you would die for that. Do not let your daughters go to war. It is shameful for a nation, and it's shameful for a father who would encourage or let his daughter go to war. We do not need our daughters and our women in the military fighting in battle. Now, that, again, misguided outrage. People would outrage. Whatever. Article 6, we deny that any Christian man may be drafted for any cause which he is not fully convinced is just according to the word of God and the dictates of his conscience. That goes back to Article 5. We have to, if drafted, if I'm ever drafted, and I think the draft age is 45, the limit, so I am going to be just 5 more years from that. But if I get drafted, if my conscience is not clear, and as of now, from what I see in the global wars and happenings that are happening right now in the political realm, I wouldn't feel a clean conscience about anything. I have the same idea of war that I have about self-defense or defending my home. If trouble comes to my door, I will defend my house. I am not going to look for trouble. And I think that's a very good principle for nations. In fact, when we first started as a country, that was a principle that was woven in. We're not going to be into global affairs and going to be the global police of anybody. We will defend our land. And that's how it is. We aren't to be, as individual men, vigilantes or anything like that. But I'm not going to go and fight for a wicked cause. And we don't want anybody to go to fight for a wicked cause. So when we think about what's happening right now, again, the Senate committee passed it on to the Senate to be voted on. We need to be prepared as a church. It's coming down the line, 2025. It's coming. And we need to have proper outrage. Outrage at the fact that unjust rulers right now would dare to want to send our daughters to war. The audacity of that. The insidious nature of that, the wickedness of that. They have been and are catechizing our people in the ways of Adam. They want men who will stand by and blame their wife and not defend their wife. They want men that will stand by and say, when the enemy comes in to attack our wife, which is what's going passing on and up the chain right now is doing, it's the enemy coming to the garden, tempting Eve, and what they want is for us to be just like our first father. They want us to stand there with her and do nothing. Is that the kind of man you want to be? Is that the kind of church you want to be? How about doing something preemptive now? And that's what I want to call you to do today. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope this has been helpful. Please reach out to me if you need a PDF copy of this, of what our church adapted, and look for all these links in the show notes. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.